Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. Ray, can you think of anyone, I guess, in sports, but maybe more focused on hockey, where if you interview him, let's say you have him on the Ray and Drake's podcast, you know you're going to get the most amount of truth. You're never going to get 100% truth from anyone that's employed by a team, because that's just not going to happen, nor should anyone expect it. But is there one guy where you're like, if this guy's coming on, he's going to give us about 70% truth, and we're looking forward to that?
Player or manager or coach? Or
any of them. Any of them. Anyone.
I think although he dresses it up with a lot of fancy lawyer stuff, John Cooper gives you stuff.
Yes, he does.
Yeah,
we mentioned him. Cooper and Maurice, we mentioned.
Paul Maurice is I mean, you know, he worked in media and all that too, of course, with us, but he's, I don't know if there's any two coaches that are better than those two in front of the mic. Like, they give you stuff you don't think you're going to get, and then they also know the game, that they realize, okay, this has gone far enough, and then they zap it off. But
those guys
would be the first two.
I just thought of one that is not in a positive light, but in a negative light, often reveals exactly what it's mine on his mind to the detriment of his team, and that's Eugene Melnyk.
Yeah.
In fact, yeah. He hasn't had a microphone put in his face since that Winter Classic a few years ago, because he does say exactly what's on his mind, and it gets him in trouble.
Yeah, at some point, you know, the PR guy's there trying to unplug the mic. No more, please. You know who actually was awesome on the podcast was Torts.
Mm. Yeah.
He was, like, I asked him, I said, like, what happens to you when you're walking down the hallway to a presser after the game? Like what happens?
What's your problem?
And he goes, I just get so pissed off. I'm like, I'm so mad. And you're like, wow. Like, he just, like, he just blew it right out, right? And
yeah.
he was actually really good along these sort of lines.
I'd love to interview Torts. He almost came across, I think, as being somewhat misunderstood, because I don't know if you remember, but we had him on the NHL and TSN panel years ago when he was in between jobs. And I remember him being hired, and there was this feeling like, oh, we got a real firecracker on our hands now. He's gonna fly off the handle, and he's gonna have all these hot takes. And that really wasn't his personality at all. In fact, he was somewhat miscast in that role, because he didn't have that flying off the handle bit when he was just watching the game or talking about the game. It was really only the emotion that gets stirred in him when he's a coach. So he seems like he's almost two different personalities between being the coach of an NHL hockey team and just being Torts, who isn't emotionally invested in someone or some team.
Well, and Ray, you can even speak that. Sorry, I just want to jump in. Ray, you can speak to it. These coaches are a lot different at morning skates, too, when you have your one-on-one with them. Like, I've had some fantastic conversations with Torts, because he's very thoughtful. He's a really smart guy. He's a really good guy. And you know, what you see at a press conference later that night, if things have gone bad or for his team, is a lot different than what he's talking about at 10 o'clock in the morning at morning skate, because he's still pretty relaxed and still kind of just building up to the game. I don't know what type of interaction you've had with him, Ray, that way.
Well, actually, you know, when Hedge mentioned that he was at TSN, I was doing a lot of studio stuff there. And so I got to know him a little bit and have kept in touch over the years. And I would say we probably all make a picture of a person we see on TV from the clip we see. Now, for John, it's over and over and over again, this clip at the end of the games, right? Whether it's, you know, when he was sparring with Larry Brooks, or he walks out of a press conference, it's like he's terrible at the end of the game, but he's a fantastic guy.
Yeah.
Like, I really like him a lot. He was, his first show, guys, we were inside at 20 minutes, and the conversation came up, you know, could skill players have more freedom? And I said, to make mistakes. And I said, yeah, you got to get, you know, a coach has to give Jason Spezza room to make a mistake because he's going to make plays that other people can't. And Torts dives in and he goes, "Oh, bull." And he doesn't say, and James looks over at the clock and he goes, something like, 23 minutes, I win the pool. It was unbelievable. And after, he was like, "I can't believe I did that." He's like, "I can't believe I just swore on television."
It just triggered something for him, right? Yeah. Like, I can't accept that. There's no way there's two sets of rules. And there's been a lot of guys over the years, people writing in that Jim Rutherford.
Yeah, Jimmy Rutherford is awesome because he just tells you what he thinks.
Yeah, and what he's going to do. Like, he quite literally told us like a month and a half ago that Matt Murray is going to be traded.
I got to trade him.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Jimmy. Yeah. Bruce Boudreau is great too. We like Bruce Boudreau. Yeah. We'll be pretty honest with you. There's a lot of them in pro sports, but. You know, with executives, you know, it's different. Executives, they seem to be a little bit more, I guess, enclosed and a little bit more tight-lipped, and they're a little bit more diplomatic.
More corporate, too, eh? Corporate.
Yes,
more
much
corporate.
More. Much more. Yeah. Much more.
You know,
more,
like the,
not as more, much more polished, and the ability to talk without really giving you the real good stuff that you're looking for all the time.
Well, there's all kinds of guys that fill up a notepad and coaches or managers or what have you, and then you know you read it back and you're like, he said nothing. Mm-hmm. he filled up the book, but man, there's nothing there.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see what we can get out of Mark in about an hour. We're really plugging this.
I just want him to call me John because.
Yes.
Who was it last week? It was.
It was Atkins. Ross Atkins called. Mike.
Yes. So I want him to call me John.
Yeah, he should, because that'd be a great bit. If he just starts calling everyone awesome. By the wrong name, it'd be great. So there were a couple of signings in the NHL. We had Connor Brown on in the last hour, and I think that's a pretty good deal for both sides. He had a good year. You know, he got a ton of opportunity.
Yeah.
But he's a guy I think you want around who's willing to accept that there's going to be some growing pains. And he told us it feels similar to, you know, the first year he was in Toronto when – all the young guys kind of showed up, and it all worked for them because they made the playoffs that first year with Matthews and Marner, et cetera. I don't think the expectation should be the same for Ottawa, but they're better and they're younger. That deal, I think, made sense. And Jake Virtanen got a deal done as well. Was it 2 years at like 2.5 or something in Vancouver?
Right.
That one, to me, I feel is going to have a different reaction because, you know, Toffoli leaves for an extra $2 million. And $2 million counts, and it matters in the cap era, but
not to the fans.
I would prefer Toffoli over Virtanen. Yeah, exactly. If you could make it work, is that the comparison in Vancouver?
Okay. Yeah, there's honestly no more polarizing player in Vancouver than Virtanen. Like, people either love him or they hate him. They can't stand him or they think he's going to be a great player. Like, it's one or the other. You know, they'll. His supporters will say he got 18 goals last year and he gets no power play time, and now he's going to be in the top six because Toffoli's gone, and because of that he's going to be, you know, he's just going to explode and score, I don't know, whatever they think he's going to score. So there's like this wide range of possibilities for him. One of the keys, though, was he had arbitration rights. And so a lot of these contracts, they're really not the same, even though they might appear the same. Like, some guys have arbitration rights, some guys don't. Some guys are coming out of an entry-level contract, some guys aren't. So Virtanen was, his comparables were close to three. So I'd say it's a decent contract. However, I can't tell you what his upside is. I mean, the first thing he's got to do is get into shape. Like, he's 20, I think he's 23, 4 maybe, and this has been an ongoing issue for him. Like, this year when they came into the bubble, he didn't even play the first game. He wasn't in shape. And, you know, and like that, there's one, you know, the hard work thing. It is a skill. Like, it's a skill to work hard, because if it isn't, then everybody would do it. Like, it's hard to work hard, and he hasn't figured that out. If he matures, I think he could be a legit 25 goal scorer. But I mean, he hasn't done it yet, and he's also going to be gifted it looks like, because they don't have any other cap room at this point anyway, it looks like he's going to be gifted a top six role. I mean, like, these chances don't come along very often.
No, and the other thing, too, is what makes him polarizing, he's a local guy. Like, he's a local guy, and he's got his buddies there. It's very comfortable. Like, you know, you're born and bred. Like, we talk about, you know, guys coming home in the National Hockey League, and you talk even like a Mitch Marner, for example. It's a dream to play for your, you know, grow up and play for your team. But I think you have to embrace it, and Virtanen just seems to have that layer of immaturity to him. And I think at some point either the lights got to go on or they've got to move away from him. But he is, every time I talk to my friends in Vancouver, he's the guy that comes up. Like, it's you know, it's not Markstrom, it's not, you know, Hughes or anybody, it's Virtanen. Why is this guy getting screwed? Or why is this guy, you know, like, this guy should be in the press box, or he should be on the first power play. It's the wide bandwidth of a player where people don't even know what he is.
Well, they paid him now. You know, it's not a crazy amount of money, but still, I think it was a couple years at 2.5. I mean,
right.
And like you just said, Ray, just based on the depth chart and the cap realities, he's probably walking in and playing with like Bo Horvat opening night if he's in shape.
I would say right now it's Pettersson.
Okay. Well, wow.
Yeah.
Which says a lot, doesn't it? When you got a guy like Pettersson, you got Besser, you got a lot of young guys on that team, younger than him. Mm-hmm. And when you're talking about Virtanen and saying, well, we're just waiting for him to mature, and you got younger guys more mature, it's sort of the argument doesn't hold up quite as strong. It struck me when I was reading today both about Connor Brown and Jake Virtanen, and they've kind of been compared and contrasted a bit because of the similar deal, similar money somewhat. And Connor Brown was almost the first thing everybody said was work ethic, work ethic, work ethic, right? And that did never get said beside Jake's name.
No.
Well, there is, coaches love players with that are zero maintenance or next to no maintenance. And, I mean, any coach I've seen that's around Connor Brown, they love coaching him. Mm-hmm. Ottawa was a great opportunity for him because he didn't, you know, he's not buried behind Nylander and Marner on that side of the ice. So he had, you know, a little more offensive chances. He was, you know, he was a big scorer in junior. Doesn't mean you're going to be a big scorer in the NHL, but, you know, the opportunity was there, and he just, like, he doesn't back away. He plays the same all the time, and coaches love that with Virtanen. And it's, you know, I mean, it's all over the map with him. And that's, again, coach can do whatever he wants. That's up to the player. You know, if he can get himself focused, mature to know that it's not one game here and one game there, but, you know, the long slog of game after game after game, then he's got a chance. If not, they're paying him for, he's the number six pick in the draft. For his pedigree of that, and, you know, when he got 18 goals last year.
Yeah, we'll see.
And I kind of like him as a player. When he's on, like, he's got some bite. Like, he's a big, like, he can hit and skate. He's a really fast skater and pretty good hands. I just don't know if he thinks the game at a high rate, if you know what I mean, if the hockey IQ matches the skill set, because there's times where I question what the hell he's doing out there on the ice.
Well, you'll see him go down the wing, you know, really, you know, a good looking rush, and he ends up behind the net. And you're like, well, unless they turn the net around, that's not a very dangerous place.
Maybe he's Gretzky. Maybe that's his offense, right? Who knows?
Yeah,
Maybe he's working on his lacrosse shot.
And that was the most dangerous place on the ice.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we'll see. I don't know when we're going to be back on the ice. I guess they canceled the Winter Classic.
Yeah,
today, which is
man, all that, doesn't it just feel crappy all the time? You see this stuff get canceled and pushed back, and you're like, oh, man.
Especially when it's so far ahead still, you know, like All-Star Games for next year, we're already canceling those. Yeah, and I can see why they are, but it just seems like bad news that we were not wanting to get yet.
Yeah, like we've been through this before. We did it last March, like everything was shutting down, and, you know, we're going through this again. And
I know.
Who knows?
It's scary. I've got an eerie feeling about this one. I talked to an executive today. I was like, what are we looking at for the date? He's like, I don't know. And that's scary when we're the bubble. They at least were like, yeah, we're going to create this bubble. We got all this. There's so many question marks surrounding this upcoming season here, which is actually scary if you're a fan or a media type. Even the players are concerned.
Right.
Well, didn't the players just get paid this week for the first time in a long time? Did I read that correctly?
Yeah. Right. They're getting paid today or tomorrow or something like that, like 8% of their upcoming contract, I guess. But it may be prorated, right? If they what baseball just went through, where it was, there's going to be a battle over that. Is it going to be, 100% of the contract minus escrow?
Well, I mean, the owner's got to pay them, and they're not making any money either.
No.
Right.
You know, like there's not an area of goodness in this whole thing. It sucks on many levels, that's for sure.
Yep, sure does.
By the way, before I leave, Hayes, how was your golf game today?
Oh, we pulled the pin. Pulled the chute, of course.
Oh.
Is there anything worse than that, Ray, when you...
But isn't the question, though, who pulled it? Because isn't O suggesting that Duffy pulled it?
Yeah, it was O that made the first call. We were all in the same boat. Listen, we're all in bed. It's 6:45. No one wants to move.
Yeah, it's dark.
It's
raining.
It's raining. Everyone's looking. I've got 15 different weather apps. They all say the same thing. They say, idiot, you're not golfing. Turn off the app.
No golf today. No golf for you, Borat.
And I can hear my phone. My phone's buzzing. And I know it's Duffy and it's O and Carlo, and I'm like, they're trying to make a sense of potentially playing, and could it work? And no, it wasn't going to work. And then O fires out that Duffy bailed on everyone to promote his new book, which is just so great.
And oh, I love
Duffy
it.
Duffy had the receipts, of course, and posted the text chain. But
it was brilliant.
Yeah, it was a rough call.
It just didn't happen.
Didn't happen. And I was just saying this in the last hour. I went outside at around 4:20. Just. My girls were coming home. I open up the door. My neighbor's walking in with his golf bag. And I yell out to him, like, did you play? He's like, yeah, it was perfect. I'm like, oh, it's the last thing I want to hear right now.
Like, well, it might have been perfect.
Yeah,
it might have been perfect 94. At noon. It might have been perfect at noon. If he's unloading the golf clubs at 4:20,
yeah,
he probably teed off about 11:30. You guys would have been making the turn at like 9:30, and that's different. That's
very different. But you know how it is, Ed. You're a golfer. If you have to cancel, you want everyone to cancel. I don't want Tiger playing today if I can't play.
No, I know.
I don't want anyone.
He's not playing very well,
everything.
If that helps you.
No, Tiger was that was a struggle early. I haven't been tracking him lately. But
he's back to +3. He just bogeyed again. So
yeah, that's not good for Eldrick.
The
or anyone,
Zozo.
For that matter. Anyway, we'll see where we're at tomorrow.
Yep. Talk to you later. Everybody have a good one.
There's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Red Tag Days continue with rates from 0% and free winter tires with every in-stock new vehicle purchase in October, MapleToyota.com. Yeah, I guess we should be tracking the Zozo and Tiger. I knew he started slow, so I wasn't really paying attention. Because
you tuned out on him because you thought he was done?
Yeah, well, I think it's one of those tournaments where everyone makes the cut, right? There's only like 77
Yeah, I think
players.
There's 78 golfers or something you said in this. Yeah,
but Tiger is not in good shape, and this is it. This is his final tune-up before Augusta. So,
well, he'll be all right. I believe.
Yeah. You think so, Nudes?
Oh, yeah. Because
why not?
He'll be fine.
No blind faith.
No problem.
Yeah, fine.
It's
exactly.
All right. Adam Hadwin's even worse. Hadwin's dead last. He's 5 over through 8. That's not good for anyone.